I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Libya was once home to a large Jewish community, but most Libyan Jews fled persecution and discrimination in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. The few who were left were expelled by Muammar Gaddafi. Now that Gaddafi is no longer in power, some Libyan Jews are thinking of going back. They might want to wait a while. One Libyan Jew who had returned to clean up Tripoli's abandoned synagogue was met by some very serious opposition last week. His life was threatened, and he was invited to leave the country. But he's not alone in wanting to preserve what is left of Jewish culture in Libya. Daniel Estrin reports from the Israeli town of Bat Yam on one man's effort to preserve from afar.
Petitzur Ben Atia, everyone calls him Petty, has a trim white beard and eyes that light up when he talks about his parents' life in Libya, or his Or Shalom Center for Libyan Jewish Heritage, or when he shows off his enormous collection of manuscripts and Torah scrolls he's collected from Libyan immigrants who brought them to Israel 50-odd years ago.
On the table now, this is a Torah scroll with his case, special case.
Petty's never been to Libya himself. Gaddafi never let in Israelis. So 10 years ago, Petty started asking others to go there for him, to see how Jewish properties were holding up. And that's how this jolly man started his very own freelance espionage ring, though he'd never call it by that name.
I don't think I cooperated with spies. Kind of, but not...
You see, it started off as an innocent quest. In 2000, Petty contacted a local Muslim in Tripoli on a Libyan web forum. He told the man he was the son of Libyan Jews and really wanted to see the condition of the old synagogue there.
So he went out of his house and took a picture with a digital camera and sent it.
Petty wanted more, so he sent Belgian student Daniel Greenberg to Tripoli to take photos of Jewish properties. But then...
He was caught by the Mukhabarat, secret police. And he was jailed for 9 days. They told him, "You are Mossad messenger, and you're taking picture for the Israelis."
No, he wasn't an Israeli spy. But whether he liked it or not, if he wanted to document Jewish history in Libya, he had to do it secretly, clandestinely, like a spy. And when they confiscated his film and kicked him out of the country, he still snuck out 4 rolls of film.
That was the first time that we got about 100 pictures of other places that we haven't had before.
Petty was on a roll. Recruit number 3 was an Israeli journalist who flew to Libya on his German passport and shot video of Jewish properties. Recruit number 4 was a French guy who went to look for the old Jewish cemeteries of Homs, the seaside town where Petty's parents grew up.
From an internet cafe, he sent me picture after picture of broken gravestones.
But the French guy, too, was caught by the secret police and thrown out of the country. That didn't stop Petty from sending his 5th recruit. This one, however, paid a heavy price. Last year, Rafram Haddad, a Tunisian-Israeli photographer, agreed to go to Libya on Petty's dime and traveling on his Tunisian passport.
I went all over Libya. I had a list of places, and I had to also to make some investigations there, talking to all people about where is the graveyard, where is the Jewish school.
He ended up making international headlines. Secret police rounded him up. He told them that Petty sent him. His interrogators knew all about Petty. Haddad said he was tortured for 20 days. Electric shocks, beatings with an iron pipe, sleep deprivation. They accused him of spying for Israel. And then they threw him in a dark cell, alone, for 5 months, until secret talks were held to secure his release. And this is not the last person you sent?
Of course not. The last one was Tzur Shezaf.
I'm Tzur Shezaf. I'm a writer and photographer.
When Libyan rebels took over Tripoli, Shezaf went to report for Israeli TV, using his British second passport, and not revealing his Israeli identity to avoid any anti-Israel sentiment.
As I walked and started filming, then came out 2 people and stopped me and said, "Who are you? What are you doing here?"
I'm asking why you came here especially.
But what is the problem?
Unfortunately, you cannot trust anybody, Libyans or foreigners. This is a very sensitive situation.
And he said, "But why are you interested in the Jewish graveyard? Are you a Jew?" And I hesitated for maybe a second or two, and I said, "Yes, I'm a Jew."
You're Jewish?
Yes.
And it worked.
You need a photo, so what? Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much.
It's a history, you cannot delete it.
The deleting of Jewish history in Muslim lands has been a source of concern in Israel for decades. Up until 1948, there were around 1 million Jews in Middle Eastern and North African countries. But with the rise of Arab nationalism and the war that led to Israel's founding in 1948, Jews left in the hundreds of thousands, mostly ending up in Israel. Many of these migrants took along some of the world's most important Jewish antiques and manuscripts. Since then, many other artifacts were whisked away with the help of the Israeli intelligence services.
Why would a secret organization be involved in such an activity?
Ronan Bergman is a senior military and political analyst for the Israeli daily Yediot Ahronot.
Because a Mossad is also in charge of keeping safe the Jewish communities in the world, also keeping their property safe.
In the late 70s and 80s, Israeli intelligence helped smuggle out important Torah scrolls from Egypt, one of them so precious that its identity remains classified. Bergman says he knows of no new operations that have taken place recently. Petty insists he's not working in connection with Israeli intelligence, and he doesn't like thinking of his work as spying.
For God's sake, it's only gravestones, it's places, streets. What's the problem? Why we can't get it normally? I'm sending people there because now what was left, maybe tomorrow will not be.
Jewish graveyards in Libya, he says, acted as an historical record of that community. But under Gaddafi, many Jewish and Muslim graveyards were destroyed to make way for urban development. Petty says he's operating rescue missions before that history is erased. This isn't the end of the story. Petty's quest has just begun. He sees a window of opportunity now, while the Libyan government is in transition and the borders aren't under tight control. He's in touch with some journalists on the ground there, trying to plan his own way in, trying to determine when's the safest time to go, to finally see his parents' home country, not through the eyes of his agents. And in Israel, Petty's building a museum to house all the Libyan Jewish artifacts he's collected over the years. For The World, I'm Daniel Estrin in Bat Yam, Israel.
You can see some fascinating photos of Jewish artifacts from Libya and of Petty's Libyan Jewish Museum. We have a slideshow at theworld.org.